Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
We've been in a series on accessing grace, and we're going to talk, this is number 7. We're going to talk about it again tonight. I want you to find Hebrews chapter 13. Grace is powerful. You know, some have misused the message of grace in times past. And, you know, preach that grace means you can just live however you want. God's got you covered. But, you know, the Bible tells us grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. And so it's a powerful thing. And anything with power, you got to point it in the right direction. How many know that? Years ago, I was coming in from a flight lesson. I'd taken some flight lessons, and we had landed at the airport in Henderson, Kentucky. And the instructor told me, he said, "Now, I want you to go park it right over here." Well, I'd never seen this plane at this airport before. I don't know what it was doing there, but it was a Citation 10. And it's about a $20 million plane, and I'm like, I don't know that I want to park. I'm new at this, you know what I'm saying? If I hit this thing, this is expensive boo-boo, you know, but I did anyway, but it was running. And so I think you was with me, hon, wasn't you? Because I said, let's don't leave, let's watch this thing take off. Because I'd heard a guy say one time, and he had one, and he said, when you put the power to it, the nose better be pointed in the right direction, because it has a lot of power. And so I told Phil, I said, let's just hang around here because they got it fired up. They're going to be leaving here in a little bit. And so sure enough, you know, they taxied and they took off. And it was like a rocket ship taking off, man. It had some power. How many of the words got some power? Yeah. But you got to point it the right direction, amen? I heard a pastor from Michigan, he when he was 17, he was working at the airport, and his job was to you know, he just had started, and they'd put him on fueling the planes where the governor's plane came in. Well, he didn't know this yet. When you fuel a plane, you put a little bit in one wing, and then you go to the other. You don't fill it all the way up because there's got to be some balancing here. But he didn't know that, so he just fills one wing up, and all of a sudden, the plane goes like this. He goes, how am I going to do this? Call the governor and say, I tipped your plane over. I mean, you don't want to tell the governor that, right? And he thought, what idiot puts a 17-year-old out here fueling the governor's plane to start with? But he got a real bright idea. Hey, if I go to the other side and fill it, maybe it'll come back up, which it will. But, you know, grace has some power to it, amen? So what I want to talk to you about tonight about is we're going to end with this on this teaching. We're going to be talking about having our hearts established in grace. And the scripture that I want to start with tonight that I have is in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, where Paul said, "Be not carried about with divers or different and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." I mean, our hearts need to be established in God's grace. And the King James says, not with meats, or we could say not with foods, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So, and he talks about, you know, because one of the things you need to understand, you read the Bible, you know, and you look for this, you'll see this. But, you know, I mean, I've seen it because, you know, I've been studying the Bible for 40-some years every day. And so that's what I do. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. And one of the things I've noticed is that, and this happened in Galatians, it happened in some in Corinth, it happened here with the Hebrew Christians, where it happened in the book of Acts, where some Jewish believers came in and told them, you got to keep the law. And, you know, Paul's like, no, we're justified by faith. But, you know, in the Old Testament, it had dietary laws. How many know that? There were certain things you could not eat. Now, we still got believers today that believe that's still valid, but it's not according to the New Testament. Paul said, every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. Romans 14, Paul talking about food, he said, I'm convinced of the Lord Jesus Christ that there's nothing unclean by itself any longer. Peter saw that great sheet, you know, that let down from heaven with all kinds of four-footed animals, unclean things, and the voice said, rise, kill, and eat. Well, Peter, that offended Peter. He's like, no way. I've never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord said, what I've cleansed, don't call common or unclean. See, Jesus' blood reconciled everything back to God. Hallelujah. So I am so glad I can eat shrimp. Now, I've heard preachers say you can't. It's still valid. No, it's not. You read your Bible. It's been cleaned up. You're not defiled spiritually by eating shrimp. You may not want to eat shrimp. I can eat catfish. Hallelujah. You know, in the Old Testament, you couldn't eat certain things. I can eat ham and bacon. I'm happy about it. I don't know about you, but you know what I'm saying. You know, you're Orthodox Jew. You couldn't do that, right? You know what I'm saying? That's what somebody said. Jesus, those demons and that madman of Gadara said, let us go into the swine. Jesus, I'm not much for pork. Go ahead. Hey, you know, us Gentiles, we wouldn't do that. We say, hey, let's butcher them. We'll eat them. Praise God. So all of that stuff, and I know I hear people preach on this, but they don't have any scripture for it. They're living in the Old Testament, and it's been cleaned up. Praise God. But yet, this church, now I'm just saying that because that's just one area. How many know you can get so established and so get your heart established in something else besides God's grace? Right. I see people do this. They get established in what I do, what I don't do. Well, how many know we should live right? But we shouldn't put our heart in, establish our heart in that because we're going to fail sometime. It's kind of like Paul said, if you want to be justified by the law, here's the deal. You got to keep it all. You break it in one point, you broke it all. Right? You shoot a BB through the front glass window of the church, how many know it's broke? Isn't it? If Mona drives James' truck through the front of the glass, how many know it's broke? What she did is a little bit more dramatic than the BB, but the same result is you got to replace the glass. So it doesn't matter how bad it got broke. And that's what the law, that's the way the law was. Paul said, if you're going to live by the law, you better keep every bit of it because if you miss one, you're in trouble. I'll tell you what, that's why I like faith in Jesus Christ because he kept all of that for us and we get in on his account. It's imputed to us who believe. It's imputed like we kept it. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And so, but people get their hearts established. And we've dealt with people over the years that were condemned all the time. They were beating themselves up all the time because they weren't perfect. Hey, get a clue. You're not. That's not a license to be imperfect, but you better not establish your heart in that. You better establish your heart in grace. Amen. Amen. You know, thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Yes. Amen. Yep. You know, people say, I want what's coming to me. No, you don't. You don't. You want what Jesus provided for you. Because what's coming to us, all of us, would be hell. But thank God for Jesus and him paying the price. Hallelujah. So he's talking to this church because they somehow, because he said there's strange doctrines and diverse doctrines and, you know, and there's strange doctrines. And somebody had infiltrated this church and had told them, if you're going to be right with God, you got to eat the right things. You got to have this strict dietary law. And so their heart's now established in that. Look, we're right with God because we're not eating shrimp. We're not eating pork rinds. We won't even eat Fritos. Well, you know, maybe it's good for you healthy, but it didn't make you any more holy.
That's right.
Amen. How many are looking, seeing what I'm saying? Now, you can transpose that in hundreds of different areas where people, they get their hearts in something else besides the grace of God. Because grace is what saved us. Amen. Grace is what we saw Sunday morning. Grace is what blessed us in our finances. Everything we have, it came by grace. Everything we have. And even God said, I'll give you, he said, don't think your own hand did it. I'll give you power to get wealth. It was his grace. It was his goodness. It was his mercy. Amen. So Paul's telling his church, your heart needs to be established in that. Now, we want to live right. I mean, if your heart's right, you want to live right. But I'm not establishing my heart that I got everything right. See, There's a story that Jesus gave in Luke, and he talked about a Pharisee and a publican. A publican was a tax collector. And they were both in the temple. And the Pharisee went in there and he said, God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortionist. I'm not an adulterer. You know, I'm not this. I tithe of everything I have. I fast twice a week. How many he's got you beat? He's got me beat. I don't fast twice every week. I fast twice in the week. And he's telling God what he has done. But what's his problem? His problem is it's focused on him and what he's done or what he hasn't done. The publican wouldn't even look up to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this guy, this publican, went to his house justified rather than the guy that did everything right. See, that publican didn't have anything to stand on. But he didn't have anything in himself to stand on, but he did stand on the right thing, God's mercy. Amen. You know, I read a book one time, and the author said this, that they were talking to a young lady that had gotten saved, and she had been formerly a hippie. How many know what a hippie is? How many were a hippie? How many are kind of still a hippie? Hopefully without the drugs and the psychedelics. But that's all she'd ever been. And she told, and she's just a new babe in the Lord, but she had this dream, and she was telling this author of this book about her dream. And she said, you know, I had this dream, and I saw people, I was a line waiting to get into heaven. And I saw people, you know, waiting to get into heaven. And one person told the, you know, Abraham, Peter, whoever it was at the gate, all the things they had done in their life, all the good things they had done. And, you know, one of them, you know, said, yeah, I've even taught Sunday school, you know, for my, I don't know what it was, but years and years, and told all the good things that they had done. And Peter, Abraham said, I think it was Peter, said, access denied. And she saw another one come up there, and they began telling Peter all the good things that they had done, and it was all good stuff. And when they were done, Peter said, access denied. She thought, what am I going to say? All I've been all my life is a hippie. That's it. I haven't done anything good yet. She said, when I got up there, this is a dream she had. She said, when I got up there before Peter, he said, now what have you done to deserve entrance into heaven? She said, I plead the blood of Jesus. He said, come on in. Isn't that a powerful dream for a newborn babe to have? I mean, that was a God dream. Because she didn't talk about what she'd done. She talked about what Jesus had done. And that's what Paul's saying. Don't get established in what you've done or how you're doing it right. Because I don't care how good you are, how right you get it. If you compare it to God, you are in trouble. You ever read all the little things about the law? You know, like a priest couldn't have a flat nose. Remember that? That's what the Bible says. I guess God likes big old round noses. I don't know, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? They couldn't be humpback, couldn't have a blemish and so forth. Now, what is all that about? Is it that God's really that strict? No, it's letting us know. See, the law was supposed to, Israel was supposed to see the law and say, we can't do that. And God said, that's exactly what I wanted you to see. But except they rolled up their sleeves and said, we'll try. And then they added some to it. They made it bigger. But it wasn't meant for that. It was meant for Jesus. See, all the law is if you want to see how perfect God is, the law portrays the perfection of God. He's perfect. And if you're going to get into His heaven, you have to be perfect too. We're in trouble. That's why He sent Jesus, somebody who was and is perfect. And that's why He became a man, so He could impute that to the human race. Just like everybody fell in Adam, everybody can get up in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. See, that's what Paul's saying. He said, don't let your heart be established in these outward things. Don't do that. Because first of all, he said, they don't profit you. Number two, they'll keep you occupied. You know, there's groups, and, you know, I'm not judging them, but I'm just saying the Word will judge you. Let the Word judge you. I can read the Word and tell you, you're missing it, brother. But, you know, they're working for their salvation. They have to do so many things a week or a month or whatever to maybe get in. And they're labeled Christian, but they're not Christian. That's not the gospel. Right? You know, they've knocked on my door before. You know why they're out there knocking on people's doors? It has to do with their working to get saved. We should be telling people about Jesus because we are saved. Because we have experienced the goodness of God. Not because we're trying to earn the goodness of God or try to get into heaven, because we've already got it. We've already got something. Amen. And so, if these people out there are doing that, and they've knocked on my doors, I'm sure they've knocked on your doors, and you know, one error leads to another. You know what I'm saying? They're an error to start with, and it leads to another error and another error. And, you know, they just think, if I just do enough, I'll get to heaven. It's like, I think it was an aunt of mine one time said, you know, that this person had been good, or maybe she was talking about herself, I don't remember now, but was so good. And I said, well, it wasn't your good works that died at Calvary, it was Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, it's like one minister, he's a popular minister, and he this is his testimony. He said, I've never cussed in my life. Hey, has he got anybody beat besides me? He said, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. Well, he's got me beat. He said, I've never done drugs in my life. I've never drank alcohol in my life. Never had, you know, immoral sex in my life. Never done any of those things. But it's like you said, who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? You're still lost. Because why? You've got to establish your heart in grace. That would be like saying, if we've got somebody out off the street and set them on the front row and taught them how to be a Christian. This is how you be a Christian. You do this, you do that. Be here Sunday, be here Wednesday. Bring your Bible. Do that. Tithe, give. How many know they're still not going to heaven if they're not born again? This is the problem that was happening with the church. These churches had given their life to Jesus Christ, but then these teachers came in and they started mixing the law in it. You got to do this, you got to do that. Paul said, don't be carried about with those strange doctrines. Let your heart be established in God's grace. How many know he's just good and he just gave it to us? If you work for it, it's debt. But if you don't work for it, how many know it's a gift? Hallelujah. The gift of righteousness. Now, a gift doesn't speak anything about the receiver. It speaks about the giver. You know what I'm saying? If I give you a gift, or you give me a gift, I can't be saying, man, I must be really something else because look what they gave me. How many know that's the wrong focus? It's kind of like I've told you about the dog-cat analogy I've heard. You know, you pet a dog, you feed a dog, you take care of a dog, it looks up at you and says, you must be God. You pet a cat, you take care of a cat, it looks up at you and says, I must be God. See, there's a lot of Christians that are cat Christians. You know what I'm saying? The focus is on me. It has to be on him. How many know that? I hope you're getting this tonight. I'm just talking to you about where is your heart established at. Paul told Timothy, he said, to be strong in grace. Well, I mean, if you can be strong in grace, you can be weak in grace. I love this, and we won't go there. We're going to look at another scripture here, but in Psalm 52, David said, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God because I trust in the mercy of God forever. I mean, David had some things that, thank God for God's mercy. You know what, remember God saying, I'll give you the sure mercies of David? Think about this. David did two things to get himself stoned under the law. He committed adultery. He had a guy murdered. This is David. Both of those offenses are death penalty offenses in the law. But David, he did some repenting. He did some repenting. And when Nathan came to him, he said, God's put away your sin and you're going to live. Well, how many know God put away our sin by Jesus and we're going to live? We have the sure mercies of David. Hallelujah. We should have died, but he's given us life. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And you know, you can get a little older in the Lord and think, you know, well, I've grown and I know this and I know that. You know what? We don't know anything like we should know. And you got to watch that you don't get older and think, well, you know, I mean, I've arrived. No, you haven't even left yet. Compared to God, we haven't even left yet. Amen. Now, let's go to the Old Testament book, 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. I want to show you something there. 2 Chronicles 32. And look at a couple verses here in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Thank God for the grace of God. Got to get your heart established in the right place, right? You know, even in our Word of Faith circles, people, you know, I confessed 35 times today, and you know, I read my Bible for 2.5 hours, I prayed for 3, and see that. Well, how many know that's just helping you? That's all that's doing. If you're doing it with the right attitude, it's helping you. But, you know, that's, look, that doesn't give you any more standing with God. I mean, he's pleased you're doing it. Don't misunderstand me, but Jesus is our righteousness. Amen? So it isn't like, you know what I'm saying? Because we can get that way, you know. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this because we can trust in things that are good things, but we're trusting in the wrong thing. Amen. Look at this in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7. The Bible said, be strong and courageous. This is Hezekiah talking. He says, be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that's with him. For there be more with us than with him. How many know he's talking about we got the whole realm of heaven on our side. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us fight our battles. And I like the King James the way it says it. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And the word rested there means that they leaned upon. They leaned on, they took encouragement, some say strength in what he said, because he said, we got supernatural help that the king of Assyria doesn't have. All he's got is the flesh, but we got the spirit on our side, the spirit world, God, the angels. Hallelujah. And so you have to, now listen, I need God's help to get this out, to make sure that we get it and understand it. But you have to examine yourselves sometimes to see, what am I relying on? Am I relying on the natural, or am I relying on God? It's easy to fall back and rely on the natural. You got to examine yourself and make sure. Amen. You know, what are you relying on? You know, I think about the area of medicine. Maybe you take medicine, but you know what? I wouldn't rely on medicine. I'm not saying I wouldn't take it, but I rely on God. Maybe go to the doctor. Well, I wouldn't rely on a doctor. I'd rely on God. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but I'm just saying don't rely on that. Don't lean on that, because that's all fleshly stuff that can fail. Amen. It's like I've heard some of these, like I've said before, some of these medical commercials. There's a lot of them, you know, different drugs that they're selling, pushing. Well, I don't mind people taking them. It helps them. Thank God for that. But have you ever listened to the real fast part? You know what I'm saying? You got this rash on your forehead. You take this pill, and the real fast part is your eyeballs might fall out. Your tongue might turn purple. Your ears might fall off, lose all your hair. I'd rather have the rash. How many ever heard that before? Man, I have... Slow it down. Listen to what they're saying. It's like, it sounds like this could kill me. It's going to fix my rash, but kill me in the process. Well, just dying alone to fix your rash. Come on, are y'all listening to what I'm saying? You have to... So how many know you can't... I'm not saying... How many are getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying don't... I'm saying don't rely on that. No, you get exercise gurus, and they'll try to tell you that exercise will fix everything about you. Well, maybe you do need to. I mean, no, you do need to exercise. Right? You need to get off the couch every now and then. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Go to the refrigerator. Every now and then, you got to get up. How many? You know, listen. Paul said body exercise profits, didn't he? A little, yeah, a little. It's short-lived. Amen. I mean, you ever seen some of the bodybuilders, you know, that you know, when my day, that, you know, Lou Ferrigno and Arnold, you know, and all that. Have you seen their arms lately? They look different. Amen. About the only one that ever kept his was Hawk. Remember Hawk? He still had his, you know. But, you know, somehow it goes from here down to here. It sags. From having a rock to a pillow. Amen. Why? Well, it helped you for a while, but as you get older, how many know, you know, how many of you follow what I'm saying? You can't rely on that. You may need to do that. Are we all clear? Yeah. Pastor's not saying become, a couch potato. I'm just saying, don't expect that to be your savior. You know, the world's so conflicted with their reports and news. For a while, eating meat was bad for you. I just saw an article yesterday, or day before yesterday. They say now eating meat will help you to fight off cancer. So which one of those reports is true? Yeah, God's report. Which one of those reports? Don't eat meat, do eat meat. What are you going to do? I'm gonna just live my life and trust God. And I'm going to listen to what he said. He said every creature of God is good. Nothing be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. I'm going to eat filet mignon. Y'all with me? I'm even going to eat pork chops. Barbecue chicken. Guess what? I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to listen to these people. They are confused. Are you all with me tonight? They're confused because I get this news thing. I get one week, this is good for it. The next week is bad for it. I say, you people don't know what you're talking about. I know what God said about it. I'm going to take what he said about it. Now, you have to go back and you have to ask yourself, Where's my heart established at? Is it in what I'm doing alone? You may have to do some things. You know what I'm saying? Sure. But I'm just simply saying, you know, there is good dietary laws. There is exercise. There is all that. I'm not knocking that out of the park. I make fun, have some fun with you. But I'm not knocking that out of the ballpark. I'm simply saying that's not where my heart's going to be established, because I've known guys that were great fitness runners. I used to be a runner for years and years. Runners that were in great shape died of a heart attack. I mean, and they were lean and trim and toward the front of the pack. And so exercise wasn't their answer. But I'll tell you one thing, it is. God is. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His word is, amen? Yes. I'm going to trust God. Yes. If I have to do some things in the natural, I'm not going to look at that. Amen? See, you may go to work, you know, every day, right? But that's not your source. God is your source. That's just an avenue. If that source dries up, how many know God's got another avenue for you? Amen. So, I'm saying, well, man, I'm so concerned, Pastor, I may lose my job. Well, we don't want you to lose your job, but that's not your source. God is your source. Your source isn't drying up. He said, seek first the kingdom of God And all these things will be added unto you. So that just tells me He's my source. Amen. You know, people about the, it's like we were talking about Sunday morning with things coming on earth. Economies get good, economies get bad. I've lived through it. I've never lived through a depression like the Great Depression. Don't ever want to. But you know what? I've lived through the recessions and that kind of stuff and down economy. It doesn't change me at all, because the world's not my source. God is my source. If the plant shut down, God's promises didn't shut down. They still work. How many know that? So the plant may shut down, you know. We don't hope it does, but it may. But God didn't shut down. My God shall meet all your needs according to His riches and glory by whirlpool. It doesn't say that, does it? It by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we have to have our heart established in the right place. Thank God for the blessings He's given us. Thank God for the good things we have. But don't let your heart go there. Amen. All that stuff, that's just temporary. That's fleeting. That can pass away. Amen? Amen. All right. Look at Psalm. We're getting ready to wind down here. But look at Psalm 127. How many know Ephesians says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? I remember the first time they came out several years ago. There's a saw, and it may have been out for a while, but I just discovered it like, you know, 30, 40 years, well, over 40 years ago, I guess it's been now. It's called a Sawzall. And you guys know what a Sawzall is? Yeah. A Sawzall is a powerful saw. I mean, it's got that blade, you know, and that thing will cut through. I got one. You can change the blades for wood. You can change it for metal. It'll just cut through stuff now. Yeah. But here's what I learned when I first got one. I'm an excessive type of guy in some ways. Phyllis can tell you. If it calls for, a dab of butter, three dabs is better. All right, this just... my personality, sometimes I get in trouble with that and think, whoa, that didn't taste good. Well, that's because it called for a quarter cup of sugar and you put a cup in. I said, ooh, that's sweet bread. Well, there's a reason why. But so I remember getting that Sawzall and I'm trying to cut this and I'm pressing on it. I'm pressing on the saw, pushing down, trying to saw through something. I'm thinking, this is the worthless piece of junk I have ever seen. It won't cut butter. Well, I forget, somebody I think might have been with me and said, don't push down on it. So I put it on the thing, pulled the trigger, and just held it like that, and it went right through it. It does all the work. See? And sometimes we're pushing down spiritually, and we're slowing things down. And we wonder, why ain't anything happen? Because you're not relying on the Lord. The Bible says the battle's not yours, but God's. So that means let Him do the cutting. And, when I finally figured out how a Sawzall worked, it's like, you don't push down at all. You just put it on the thing, pull the button, and just steer the thing. And I mean, I don't know what. I haven't tried this, so I'm not sure that this is accurate. But I think they might cut a Sherman tank in half. Long as you don't push down and you got a little bit of time. I mean, those things will cut. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. Those things will cut. But they won't if you try to help it. If you try to help it, it won't go anywhere. I really believe that's one of the problems a lot of times we have receiving from God is we try to help the process along. Now, listen to what. How many know confession's right? But I see people that they think it's going to come to pass because I confessed it 40 times today. I mean, that's just a work of the flesh. It's not. You confess it because it's in your heart. I say things because I put it in my heart. If you get the word in your heart, confession's not a problem, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's not a problem for me to say right things over my life because it's in my heart. But if you try to force it, because I've seen people, well, I did what you guys said. One lady wrote me one time And she said, Mark Pearl, you're going to pay me back. And she began naming some faith preachers or something. Wasn't that right? Some faith preachers or something she named. She said, all of you are going to pay me back. But she said, Mark Pearl, you're the number one going to pay me back. You know what happened? She was pushing down on the Sawzall. See, I didn't write the Bible. Let me know that. I didn't write the Bible. And I don't know what didn't come to pass. I don't know, she may have said in a letter, but I don't remember. I don't know what didn't come to pass in her life, but because I taught on faith and it didn't work for her, I was responsible. And just like me calling the Sawzall company and say, hey, these things don't work right. I want my money back. No, you got to know how to use it. You can't put the pressure on. You just got to let it go. That's the way it is with God. Look at Psalm 127. You find that? Psalm 127. Look at this. We may look at one more thing real quick. We'll see. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So, you know what? It's vain. Unless the Lord does something, it's vain. Now, you know, the watchman's supposed to be out there, right? Yeah, he is. But unless the Lord helps, there's nothing he can do. It's vain for you to rise up early. How many can say amen to that? Amen. To sit up late. Mr. Phyllis goes, boo. To eat the bread of sorrows. It's vain for you to sit around and be worried about and sorrowful. Why? For he gives his beloved sleep. What's God saying? Unless I do something about it, all you're doing isn't going to do a thing. You might as well trust me and go to bed. That's the best advice I've had in a long time. What are you going to do, honey, tonight? Trust God and go to bed. Amen. How many like that advice? That's what the Bible said, right? Trust me, go to bed. Go to sleep. Proverbs 10:22 says this, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. Amen. The word sorrow means, this is really good, where it says, he adds no sorrow, the blessing of the Lord, it's what makes you rich, it's what blesses you. He adds no sorrow. Some translations, there's a couple translations that I read. One of them says, toil yields no increase like it. All your self-efforts won't produce the blessing like the blessing of the Lord. One, and I like this one, this one translation says, no effort can substitute for it. So all the amount that we could put into it, it won't substitute for it. I've told you before this story of evangelist that I knew years ago. He said I was scheduled to preach a healing meeting at this church. We already had it scheduled. And he said, so I'm flying there. And he said, the flight's late by 5 hours. And he said, so when I get there, he said, I was just traveling in blue jeans, t-shirt, tennis shoes. He said, I was just traveling comfortable. And he said, when I arrive there, the driver from the church is at the airport to pick me up. And he tells him, he said, well, I need to go to the hotel and change clothes. He goes, oh, there's not time. Service has already started. I've got to get you right there. He said, well, I was planning on getting there 5 hours before, going to the hotel room, praying, studying, and getting ready for the service. But he said, I didn't have that time. He said, so he takes me to the church. We walk into the sanctuary. The pastor's up behind the pulpit. He says, as soon as the pastor sees me, he says, oh, thank God you're here, brother. Come on up. He said, that's all I had. He said, so I'm walking down the aisle, and he said, I start praying. And he said, I've told God. He said, I'm praying to God. He said, Lord, we've advertised this as a healing meeting. If anybody's going to get helped, if anybody's going to get blessed tonight, you're going to have to do it. He said, as soon as I said that, he said, I heard the Lord speak back to me. He said, who did you think was going to do it? He's like, right. It's not me, right? Now, how many know, if he'd have just been lazy out playing golf, God's not going to honor that. But God understood. He couldn't help this. How many know God's got more common sense than the government? How many, well, God's got more common sense than you and I? Yeah. Of course he does. He understands that. He knows when we're goofing off, but he knows when something comes up. And so he said, we had a great service too. The Lord came in and moved. But, you know, he had to get the weight of it off of him. He had to get the outcome off of him. All my job is believe. Those that believe do enter into rest. That's all I have to do, is just believe, and then I'm in rest. That God's going to do something. Amen. Let's look at one final scripture. You get something tonight? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read a couple verses there. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this will be it for tonight. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And Paul said something here that's important to us. It's important to our faith. How many love God? Amen. You know, I love the life that the Lord has given me. Amen. I mean, I've been serving Him over 40-some years now, and I got no complaints. It's all been good. Amen. It's been good. It's been rich. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just thankful for the years I've had and how good they've been. Amen. And I've watched God just take Phyllis and I and bless us and bring us up. Amen. I got a call today to go over and sign the papers for my 6 lots in the cemetery. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I told Lee, well, I'm leaving town, so I'm leaving the country. I'll come back and sign them when I get back, you know. I'm not going to need them for a while anyway. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, so they'll be good. We'll all be good. Amen. So, hallelujah. Don't you think it's comforting to know where you'll get your body back at? Oh, right there. A shout from heaven, hallelujah. And out my body will come out of the ground. I hope there's a tree nearby. That was the best, that was the most unusual gift I've ever been given. 6 burial plots. I'm thankful for them. Don't misunderstand them. I appreciate the lady that sold them into our life, you know. I told you that story, how that happened. But anyway, look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4:17. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're nice to me, I might let you lie there. I don't think, Phyllis said she doesn't want to live in a subdivision, so she doesn't want me to get rid of the other lots because she wants room by her. But anyway, how many know we're hoping the rapture comes first? But if the Lord should tarry a little bit, one day I'll need it. Amen. And so, anyway, thank God I'm already covered. God's got me covered. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal glory while. Now notice this. It only works for you while you do something. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, or they're only temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what's our focus supposed to be on? It's supposed to be on the eternal, unchanging things of God. Don't focus yourself on natural things. They can't deliver you. There's no help from the flesh. Help comes from the Lord. Amen. You know, I remember, and it happened several years ago when, matter of fact, I knew a guy. He had all of his money invested in a certain stock, and so, you know, him and his wife come to see me, and she's concerned about, not that, you know, it's amazing what you get called on to be as a pastor. I've learned over the years I'm not that. Like Jesus said, man, who made me a ruler or judge over you? You know, it's like, I don't think I need to be settling that in your life. But anyway, they came and asked for my advice, you know. And so, you know, his wife was like, I think we need to diversify. He's got it all, and I think it was tech stocks that he had it in. And they were just skyrocketing at the time, man. They were making lots of money, hand over fist. But I think she sensed something from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, you know, I'm going to try to help him, but he tells me. Now, when somebody tells you this, what are you going to do with it? He said, God told me to put it in there. What am I supposed to do? Well, God missed it. How many know you need to come with a little bit more humility than that? Say, I think maybe he might have, maybe not. Could you help me, Pastor? Because when you say that, like he told me that, so I'm done with the conversation. I'm like, well, okay, you know. I hope it works out for you. It didn't. He lost every bit of his retirement money. He had all his retirement, worked for years, took all of it, put in that stock, and lost everything. All right? I mean, that's bad. And it was during that time that a lot of people did, and they took their lives. Now, that tells you they were trusting in money, not in God. Because even though all your money went, God didn't go. Amen? It's like the prophet in I think it was the Kings, told the king that had given 100,000 talents to get another army to come and help him. And the prophet came and said, God's not going to be with you if you have that army help you. He said, well, I've already given 100,000 talents to come and help me. He said, God's able to give you much more than this. Write it off, brother. So you got to have some sense about you. God's able to do more than that. I've had people tell me in this church, and I just had to deal with them. Say, well, we're living together, and you know, we're not married, but we're not going to get married because if we get married, we lose our government money. I'm like, to them, I just tell them, what's more important to you, obeying God or government money? I mean, if you love the woman, marry her. Chuck the government. They're liable to quit paying it to you someday anyway. God's always there. But you know, I haven't had one yet that I've had to deal with that ever would do that. They just leave the church. Why? Because they trust the natural more than do God. There isn't enough money to make me obey one of God's commandments. Well, that's a lead balloon. Did what I say? Did I say obey? Okay, let me say it again. Let's see if you do better this time, all right? Let's try this. There isn't enough money to make me disobey one of God's commandments. Okay, that's better. Preacher needed a little adjustment there. A little spiritual choir practicing, you know. There's not enough money to make me disobey God's word. But yet with these people, there was. It's like, well, we know it's wrong to live together, but if we get married, we lose our money. I understand you got to have money. I know that. I get that. I understand that. But don't you think that if you honored God, he would honor you? He said, those that honor me, I will honor. I would just tell God, here's what the government says. Here's what you say. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to trust you. How many know he would come through? I'm just not going to disobey God for any kind of money. I don't care.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not worth it. Did you get anything tonight?
Amen.
So that's just too strong for me. Well, come back. Praise God. In 20 days, I'll give you something stronger. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, where's the heart need to be at? It doesn't need to be in the natural things. It doesn't need to be in fleshly things. It doesn't need to be in what we do or don't do. It needs to be in God's grace. Because that's all that matters. Amen. Let's all stand up. Thank God for his word. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.